All right. Hey, welcome to River Valley Church. Come on. You like it a juice? You getting the juice. It's fine. Let's just keep the joke going. I love it. Hey, listen, it's so awesome that you're here. First of all, so grateful. If you're new here, we are One Church, Multiple Locations, which means that Pastor Rob, our lead pastor, who's going to be sharing next weekend, is going to be dropping some great truths. But I have the opportunity of, he gives the stage away to us campus pastors every handful of weeks. And so today you get to hear from me at the beginning of the year. So excited that we get to do this together. And how many of you guys had a great, fantastic New Year's? If you did, make some noise if you loved, if you did a little celebrating. We did. This was the year that we did the Pastine Family New Year's Games Gauntlet. It was just us four, but we got a new foosball table. We cranked that out. We did some Just Dance and all might. We all played and everybody got prizes. It was actually really fun. And of course, my kids live for that moment. Like, Dad, we got to stay up and see the ball drop. We got to watch. And I said, oh, you mean Dick Clark dropping the ball? And they go, Dick who? That's for all you old schoolers out there. You mean Ryan Seacrest? Yeah, Ryan Seacrest. That's what I meant. But it was great because we had a chance. We watched it. It was a beautiful time. We had a blast doing it. And it just made me realize something is like, I realized this as we were watching the ball drop and everyone's like, oh, thank goodness 2020 is behind me. It's a new year. It's a new everything. And I put this in my notes. I said, I love that calendars mark our moments, but God ordains our seasons. That there's calendars and the year, but God is really the beginning and the end of seasons. And when you're in a season of God, you want God to end the season. You want God to beginning the season and God to help you through. You know, our help for to have a great year doesn't come from any of those things, from watching a ball drop, drinking sparkling cider, you know, letting Ryan Seacrest, you know, who, you know, Jennifer Lopez tell us when we should be celebrating. God tells us when we should. And I love what it says in Psalm 121. It talks about the season going from as we entering 2021, going from this season to the next. I love what it says. I look up to the mountains. It says there, longing for God's help. Then I realize our true help and protection come from the Lord, our creator who made heaven and earth. He guards us. He guides us. Never lets me stumble or fall. God is my keeper. He will never forget or ignore me. He will never slumber. He is the guardian God over his people. Jehovah himself will watch over you. He's at your side to shelter you. He's protecting you from danger day and night. He keeps you and watches over you. You will be guarded by God. You will be safe when you leave your home and you will return. He will protect you. He will protect you forevermore, which is awesome. And I just realized, you know, I hear so much about people resenting 2020, and I'm just telling us, we need to stop resenting our year and hating our life and start relating to God and having the time of our life. Stop resenting 2020. See it as where God was. Pastor Matt alluded to it. We had the biggest year of generosity in River Valley Woodbury's history this past year in the midst of a pandemic. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for believing. That's the answer to prayer. I'm telling you, God is doing exciting things because let me tell you, that's evidence that God is moving here, that God is moving in our church, that God is doing and moving and he's doing stuff here that I'm so proud of. And God is going to move this year in your life. If God is moving in our church, he's going to move in your life. He just is. Because we don't, when God is moving, you can either sit back and watch him in motion or you could jump in and get in with what God is doing. What you move, you've got to keep in motion. But what God sets in motion, he keeps moving it. He keeps sustaining it. So it's not about you. It's not about you trying so hard. It's about God coming in and moving. And God is moving. That's what he's going to do. And I know God's going to do it. And so I'm believing that there's going to be a move of God this year. And today we're going to look at, where is God moving in your life? How is he going to move this year? We're going to unpack all of that in the next handful of minutes. So will you I just want to pray over us and just agree this with me. God, thank you for every person that's here today. Thank you for people that have come in here and they haven't been in church for a while, but they're in saying, hey, I'm giving God a shot today. I'm coming into church today. You know what? You're not here by accident. God has brought you here. The Holy Spirit led you here. It's so awesome, God, to know that you are bringing people in and you're moving today. You're going to spark. You're going to inspire. the university you're attending right now that you wondered was, did I just get in there? No, God put you there. The business that you got, the business that you got given to you as an entrepreneur, and you were, and did I razzle dazzle with my entrepreneur skills? No, God gave you that business. Did I just take a leap and just step out because I just want something new? No, God's called you to walk on water. That's why you're stepping out. That's why you're walking on. That's why you're stepping out right now, and you're believing God for God to sustain you and carry you. The water couldn't sustain Peter. Only Jesus can, just like God's going to sustain you. The marriage that you chose, that girl next to you, that dude next to you, that husband or wife next to you, God spoke to you at one point in your life that they were going to be yours, and they're sitting next to you today. That marriage is ordained. If you're married in this place, that's an ordained marriage by God that He's given you. If you're single and God's giving the gift of being single and you get to go into 2021 running solo, guess what? You've got, Paul says it's better to be single because you can do more for God than you can apart when with someone else. So guess what? Run with that. Teenager, run with it. Young person, middle schooler, run with it. God has put you on the path to run the race. He's called you to, so God is moving. So get ready for God to move even more in your life. Because God's on the move in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, here we go. Listen, I'm telling you, there was a time, thank you, Jeremy, when I was back, there was a time Heidi and I lived in Washington, D.C. It was probably one of the funnest times. We go back and say, one of the funnest times of our lives living in D.C. And it was during that time that God taught me something. And I'm going to tell you what He taught me today. When I lived in D.C., I lived two blocks from Capitol Hill, and I had the beauty and pleasure and awesomeness of meeting so many cool people, meeting so many cool things. But I remember this, all of that's great. I encountered God in one of the rarest, most beautiful encounters God I ever had in my life was during that time. And you know what God spoke to me? God, I just woke up one day, and God, I believe there was an impression on my heart. Does God speak to me? Yes. Do you want to know how He speaks to you? Because when you, and if you're a Christian and you heard the call to become a Christian, that's the first time you've heard God's voice, when God called you to salvation. And all those, when you, and all, and that, just go back to that if you wonder, does God speak to me? Yes. And I've got, and that same way that I felt called to find Christ, the same way that I felt called to go to North Central University and become a pastor, that I felt called to come to River Valley Woodbury. There was that same voice that told Heidi and I in 2012 that we're going to go and that we're going to go to DC. And in that place, God said, I want you to pray every morning at 7:14 a.m. for a year. So I went into a coffee shop. I prayed in the basement of a coffee shop for a year. And out of that moment, I went there at 7:14 in the morning for a year, and I prayed there. And here's what happened. I saw these young guys, these DC young guys running through, working Capitol Hill, working the scene. They would come in, and they would come down, and they would see me down there. And I watched these young men get filled with the Holy Spirit. I watched them. I was like, now we know at salvation you receive the Holy Spirit. That's called the indwelling of the Spirit. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, but there's an infilling that comes beyond, that Acts 2 speaks about. And they said, hey, I'm trying so hard. They were white knuckling everything. I said, you need to let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And guess what? I prayed, put my hands on them, put my hand on them. All of a sudden, God, I pray that you would fill them beyond religion, beyond anything that they've known out of just basic religiousness. They need to have an encounter with you. And these men got filled with the Holy Spirit. We started up, Heidi would watch me leave on Tuesday nights, and I would go out in pubs in the city, and we had Bible studies in pubs all around Washington, D.C. Men got delivered of pornography over the course of hanging out at these pub tables while they were coming out after work. They worked from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. D.C. is a wild, fast-running place. They would go and they would hang out with me, and we'd meet at 7 o'clock, and we'd have these moments where we would pray and lay, and we would talk about, we'd read the Bible, and these guys got delivered. It was awesome. We worshiped. There was God. I felt like God said, we're going to worship for 12 hours straight. We worshiped on a Saturday night in this church Sunday morning. We worship for 12 hours. And in that moment of worship, God, I saw this. There was a guy in the front row who worked for the Department of Defense, and he was a dude, sharp military dude in the front. And we prayed. I said, God wants to heal people. And we laid hands upon this man. I saw his leg grow miraculously. And what he couldn't walk before, he had like a little bit of a, he had a half inch shorter. He had to accommodate that. He left running out the door like a Bible character. The man left leaping and running. I was like, where did he go? And he came back. It was so awesome. I'm like, I've never seen that before. It was just really cool. We had a Bible study in the food court at the mall in Virginia. And we would sit there. It was right across the Potomac, right next to the Arlington Cemetery. We had a Bible study in the mall, and we led people to Christ in a mall food court. Are you joking? Like, this is the kingdom of God at work. It was powerful. And why did God move in those moments? I'll tell you the four things that Heidi and I did that we lean into of why we saw God move. We prayed, fasted, worshiped, and read the Bible. That's it. Prayer, fasting, worship, and scripture. And it's, we can pick up some of this in Acts 2:42. This is, in the context of this, is Jesus has died, resurrected, gone to heaven, Spirit's poured out, and they're just like, Jesus is gone, I got the Holy Spirit, I'm following God, we got the scriptures, we got that, let's just go, let's follow God. This is what's happening, and this is what it says. Every believer, in verse 42, every believer was faithfully devoted to following the teachings of the apostles. The apostles is another word for like pastor, like a leader in the church, is what it was saying. Faithfully devoted, is that you? Their hearts were mutually linked to one another. Is that you? Sharing communion, check that off. We did that today. That's good. Coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone. And the apostles performed miracles, signs, and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship with one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need at UGM. Oh, that's going to happen the 17th. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with the praises to God. I love that. Continually filled. That wasn't like, I'm only filled on at 10:30 on a Sunday. Mm-mm. Nope. Continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of the people, and the Lord added their number daily, those who are coming to life. Here's my first point. God moves when you pray. God moves when you pray. You know it. That's why we pray. There's a reason why Pastor Claire comes up here and says in an absolutely lovely English voice, open the word to the scriptures and let's pray. There's a reason why. Because when we put that out, we're saying, we're praying. We're not just coming up. It's not fogs, lights, camera, action. We're here to meet with God. It's not the Allen Show, Rob Ketterling Show, River Valley Woodbury Show. We're here to meet with God, just in case you want to be crystal clear about it. We're here for God. And that's what we're doing. And that comes that we will be praying. We're a praying church. And the prayer meetings in most churches are one of the most least attended meetings in the church. And that's terrible. And we want to fix that. We need to be fixing that this year. We need to have prayer meetings go. Jim and Lorraine and the team and the prayer team members, all of them, they're praying on Monday nights. And you know what? They get a little group of people that come, which is great. Jim and Lorraine have been calling prayer meetings. We've been praying for our cities, for our governor, for our nation, for our president. They're praying regularly. They've been praying for like 175 plus days straight. LaDon, I don't know, something like that. That's what I'm saying. They're praying because they believe that prayer works. So we gotta, and so why are we not praying? I think we don't know what prayer is. I think we're saying, you know, here's what prayer is not. Prayers are not lopping pennies in the fountain at Mall of America, like God's, like spiritually speaking for God, like God, flick, fling, 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 fling. I hope you answer this prayer. I hope that this works. Let's just cast a wish to God and God's gonna give us the answer. That's not prayer. Prayer is not reciting the right words like Harry Potter to get your Patronus on so that you can get the miracle answer. And if your religiousness offends you, get over it. It's fine. It's a joke. Chill out. The point is, we try to recite the right things to God to get him to move. That's not how it works. Prayer is not a vending machine that drops the prize when you hit F6 and the little metallic coil turns and the miracle drops out of the bottom of heaven. That's not prayer. Prayer is not that. Prayer, what is it? Philip Yancey says this. Prayer is two things. I view prayer as two things. Inviting myself into God's life and God, and inviting God into my life. It's a relationship of God inviting you into God, God into you. This is what it is. Prayer is when the disciples said, we don't know how to pray in Matthew 6. Jesus says, oh, it's very simple. God, you're my Father. You are in heaven. Your name is holy. Your kingdom needs to come and your will needs to be done in my life on earth as it is in heaven. Today, I need provision. Like I need bread. I need food. I need money. I need a job. Now we say the Lord's Prayer in a very, I grew up Lutheran. Some of you grew up Catholic and you're like, we've laid out this Lord's Prayer very, you know, very religiously. It's not that. It's coming to God saying, I know the Lord's Prayer. I've memorized it now because I've said it a million times. Now it's just like, God, you're a father and I'm a son and I need you in my life today. I got to get through work today. I got to get through my kids today. I got to sign a deal for my job. I got to get good grades. I need help, God. You're a father. I'm a son. I need it. That's how it works. That's what prayer is. And prayer gets God's attention. Did you know that prayers, when you pray them on earth, they somehow God takes them and manifests them as memorials in heaven that get God's attention. I love what it says in Acts 10. It talked about this man named Cornelius who was a centurion. And I love this description of him. It says, in Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout. Maybe that's you. God-fearing, meaning, you know, they reverence God. Maybe that's you. They gave generously to those in need. Yep, that's probably you. And prayed to God regularly. Yeah, that's great. That's probably describing you. And one day, about 3 in the afternoon, he has this vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God come to him and says, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him like, what is it, Lord? Like, an angel came to me? Yeah, when you pray regularly, give regularly, love regularly, worship regularly, you'll have spiritual encounters. You should be having spiritual encounters. The angel says to him, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial to God. There's something when you pray, there's a memorial in heaven that when all of heaven goes into this place, as they're walking through heaven, they're going to walk through and say, that's the memorial of the prayers. That's the prayers right here. I love it. These people prayed for God to bless their business. And it multiplied and all of heaven. Now, and then they get to look down and say, and that's the man right there whose business was blessed. You see this family right here? Man, this is a beautiful moral because they prayed and they lost a child. And their child is standing by the memorial saying, this is the prayers my mom and dad prayed for me. That's my memorial. And that, look at my mom and dad. Now they're loving life. I'm going to see them soon. This is the prayer that we prayed for when we believe God for, they believe for a healing and a miracle that took place. And now they're walking in miracle. And this is the memorial to it. What if there's a memorial in heaven? Like there's a World War II memorial in DC where you get to look at the 16 million men that died in World War II. And there's this monuments lined everywhere. I can imagine heaven is like that. That there's these monuments that as you walk through heaven, there's going to be these monuments, these memorials that went up because you prayed. Are you praying? Are you praying? Are you believing God? Are you looking at God and wondering, okay, God, this is for you. I believe you. This is yours. Prayer meetings, I love this. I'll put this down. This is your encouragement. Make your prayers less about moving God's heart and more about aligning yours. Make your prayers less. I think so many times you come to prayer and say, God, I need you to do this. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. You need to stop this. You need to make this happen. When really it's more about just align your heart to God's. And it's so much less stressful, so much less work, it seems. You know, my son who loves Xbox went and he was going to buy an Xbox game and he bought this game and it was one of those things where I'm like, oh no, the game had a rated M on it for mature. And I was like, no. I was like, you know, and it wasn't one of those like, you know, I didn't come to my son going like, you got to not get rated M games. You're not 18. Plus, what's the content? Da, da, da. I just had to come and I said, it's not about trying to, it was about aligning my son's heart to mine. So I spoke to him. I said, son, I go, this game has language in it. I go, you're a man of God. Do we want to be surrounded by that? He goes, no, Dad, you're right. son, this has, in this game, they're going in, that's violent. They're doing this. They're chopping heads off. It's like, I go, that's not, I don't want your, do you want your head filled up with that? Is that what my man of God's son wants? He goes, no, Dad, you're right. It was so, I just watched him do it. And rather than trying to get him to agree with me or trying to force him to agree, he just, it's like, I just spoke the truth and he just slowly aligned right into my life. It was beautiful. So that's why prayers is not about trying to move my son. Like I was trying to move my son's heart versus he was trying to convince me that it was okay. And I'm like, just get in alignment with me, son. I'm your dad. I got things figured out and I'm super wise and I'm amazing. And you're going to love hanging with me when you follow, when you obey. It's me. So anyways, that's what I'm just saying. It's like, that's what prayer is. It's get in alignment. So we have prayer meetings at our church. We for 21 days of prayer and fasting, we have our usual meeting that Jim and Lorraine lead, 6:30, Monday night, tomorrow night, here, come, pray. And I'm also doing a 7:14 in the morning prayer here at 7:14 on Wednesdays. So come join me. We're going to pray. We're going to do it for 3 weeks. Maybe we'll go more. But I mean, right now, I'm like, let's go 3 weeks, 7:14 on Wednesdays. I'm going to crank the worship. We're going to walk and pray. It's all it is. It's a prayer meeting. I'm not preaching. I'm not talking. I'm not trying to go. And I'm not trying to create something. It's called, let's just meet with God and make it easy. Come when you want. Leave when you want. Super easy. Billy Graham says, to get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees. No better time for that. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Prayer is breathing. Prayer is the breath of God in you, filling you, going forward. Here's the next thing. God moves. The second thing, God moves when we fast. God moves when we fast. 21 days of prayer and fasting. Why do we do it? Daniel did it. David did it. Nehemiah did it. Israel did it. The disciples did it. And Jesus did it. Prayer and fasting go together. It's what we do. We have to be a fasting people. You know, and fasting is something that happens when you go and say, I am going to, I mean, literally, Donald Whitney puts this quote on fasting, Christian fasting is a believer's voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. That's fasting. Fasting is saying, I'm not going to eat a meal. I'm not going to eat for a day. I'm going to not eat a certain kind of food. Like Daniel, he only ate fruit and vegetables for 21 days. And that was great. And then went back to meat again or whatever. And, you know, it's like there's certain things you can do. That's what fasting is. Fasting is different than consecration. Consecration is saying, I'm not going to look at Netflix. I'm not going to go to the movie theater for 21 days. I'm not going to go to TikTok. I'm not going to listen to secular music for 21 days. I'm just going to do worship. That's all beautiful consecration, but that's not fasting. Hate to break it to you. Fasting is I'm going to give up some portion of food for the sake of, if you're like, I got a medical condition, I can't do it. Then it's like, can you go without food for 3 hours? And say, I'm gonna give 3 hours to God. And then eat, like instead of breaking, eating at noon, you know what I mean? Eat at like 10:30 then. You know what I'm saying? Like just whatever you gotta do. Consult a medical doctor, I have to say that, so that you don't do something dumb. But the point is, put yourself in a place to go and say, I'm gonna do this. We're gonna fast for 21 days. What are you going to do? How is God going to move? Because here's the thing. Only certain things get unlocked when you fast. There's some breakthroughs you will not get unless you fast. There's some doors you will not open. God will not open for you unless you fast. I love what it says and this is where it comes from, in Mark 9. It says in verse 28, afterwards, when Jesus arrived at the house, the disciples, they were trying to cast this demon out of this dude. And in verse 29, Jesus answered them, "This type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer." Jesus says, you can't just pray that out. You can't just pray that through. You can't just pray that open. You can't just pray that in. You have to fast and pray for it to come in, right? That's what we got to do. So that's when it comes. And I put it this way. I'm trying to find ways to say things that are different. I put it this way. When you fast for God, God fast forwards for you. So what I mean by that is when you fast, the disciples could only go so far. And they couldn't get past. But Jesus says, no, when you fast, God fast forwards it to get to where the disciples needed to go spiritually, relationally, da, 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 all that kind of stuff. Okay? So fasting does that. Some things, that's what we gotta do. So fasting is important. So that's when God moves. Are you gonna fast these 21 days? What are you gonna fast? How much are you going to fast? What days are you going to fast? If you want to see God move and God to move and you want to get in God's movement for you, you got to fast, especially when the church is declaring it. Jump in. Let's go. Number three, God moves when we read the scriptures together. Verse 46, daily they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts. I love it. This is just saying, listen, we got to be together. There has to be a sense of reading the scriptures together. You read them, come to church, get inspired by the scriptures, go meet with the men of the church, the women of the church, the friends in church, and married couples, and read the scriptures together. That's what we should be doing. Because in a time in COVID where it's so zany and everyone is in isolation, it can get dangerous for people. Why do you think suicidal thoughts and suicide in general is up? Because we're isolating too much. Robin Williams, who died and committed suicide, this quote is haunting. He says, people say the worst thing in the world, he says, is to be alone. That isn't true. The worst thing in the world is to be with people who make you feel alone. You can come in this church and sit in this thing and not know a single person. And that's probably one of the most loneliest feelings, to be surrounded by hundreds of people and not one person know you. Are you reaching out? Are you inviting people into your Bible study? Are you bringing people to church? Are you connecting with them? That's why it's so important to get in community and get into God's word. God's word is what brings us together. God's word is what calls us together. We can rally around. There's a reason why we're doing Soap Sprint for 21 days. Because we're going to rally around the word of God. God's word's important. Here's my thought on this. You getting into God's word is good, but God's word getting into you is vital. You got to get the word of God in you. Do the Soap Sprint. I challenge you. Why can't you read the whole New Testament in 30 days? How will that transform your life? How will that change your life? We've got groups going on. We've got here's a couple things, some practical. This Tuesday, I'm calling it a faith forum. This Tuesday, there's a guy named Troy Daldorf in our church. Troy is here. I don't know if he's here today. He's probably somewhere. If not, there he is, Troy. Troy and I have been meeting, and we said, we want to lift up the word of God. We're going to come in. It's not like Miranda's going to lead us in gloriousness. It's not going to be like coffee gloriousness. It's not going to be me, Alan, coming in and getting hype for you and getting excited about Jesus. It's called, we're going to come in at 7 o'clock and we're going to teach the word for an hour. It's thousands and thousands of words. It's hundreds of scriptures. We're just going to give you everything we can about the word of God. We're going to talk about being an overcomer. We're just going to do it for 3 weeks. Like a seminar. We're just like, can you be an overcomer in 2021? Troy's going to teach us, and I'll do a quick Q&A afterwards, 7 to 8:15. Maybe that's where you want to supplement your word by coming here on Tuesday night. And we might have 5 people, we may have 50. It doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's about, I'm coming because I want to get in the word of God and learn how to be an overcomer. And it's just an hour and 15 minutes, and then it's a clean getaway. If you need to break free and go, that's all it is. But we want to do it. So Troy, I'm going to open it up. Troy's going to teach on it, and then we'll do a Q&A at the end, 7 to 8:15. We've got life groups. I'm running 4 promise principles this last fall for men that we've been hanging out. I was just talking with Eric and talking with some of the other guys in our church and Brandon and some of the guys for men's groups that are starting. That we got men's group sisterhood. If you're a lady, you should be going to. So we got AMPM sisterhood. Ladies coming together, going to hanging out, having a blast, spending time understanding the word of God. Go Core is happening, where we teach your littles about the word of God. Youth group is happening, which is fire right now. And Pastor Matt, which is awesome, and all the youth leaders are amening. Because when you come into a place like this, when you're saying, listen, we need the word of God. Pastor Matt had the comment, he goes, Alan, my students can't have a little, like a warm fuzzy and a slice of pizza and go home. We can't do that. I refuse to do that. So they're asking, my son has texted questions. Pastor Matt has a Q&A part where they get to text questions in and Pastor Matt answers them from the stage in real time. And he's like, I don't know the answer. I'll find it. That's our youth pastor. This is what we want to see for young people, man. You know, this is why God's word is important. This is one of my favorite scripture verses, Psalm 119, 89, verse 89 through 93. Standing firm in the heavens and fastened to eternity is the word of God. Ponder that phrase. Look at that. Fastened to eternity is the word of God. You want to get eternity? Grab a hold of the word of God and don't let go. Your faithfulness flows from one generation to the next. All that you created, God, sits firmly in place to testify of you. By your decree, everything stands at attention, for all that you have made serves you. Because your words are my deepest delight, I didn't give up when all else was lost. Some of us have experienced loss. We're wondering why this year happened and some of the difficulties. And the reason you're in church today is because God's word has been sustaining you and you didn't know it. God's word's been carrying you and you didn't know it. I can never forget the profound revelations you taught me, for they've kept me alive more than once. I'm telling you, you need God. Will you hear me say it as often as I can until you got it memorized? God's word for your life is God's will for your life. You want to know God's will, go to God's word. Just get in the Bible. Love the Bible. Get in the Bible. Read the Bible. Not only is God moving in fasting and prayer and the word, but God is moving in our worship. I'm telling you, can you make some noise for Pastor Miranda and Austin Blumberg? There's so much that goes in. And she's got to rally these incredible volunteers like Jeremy and everybody that's up here that's volunteering to play for us. Rudowski in the back, along my son was back there, first service. Everyone clicking the lyrics so that worship can be something. We've said worship will mark our church. Worship will mark our church. If God inhabits the praises of his people, then worship will be a part of our church. It will. And that's why we give time to it. That's why we love to make it the best. That's why we love to give it everything we got. That's why we're declaring, because they're not just, that's not just lyrics. It's prophetic declarations over your life, getting you back in alignment to the will of God, to the plan of God. It's Miranda singing your future prophetically over your life, that when you say, all I want is more of you, and you're like, do I believe that statement? And you read it and you stop singing because the lyrics get in you and you go, do I believe that? I think I do. I think I need that. And you start praying and getting, and you're pulling on those lyrics, because Miranda's not just singing songs. She's paving a way. She's pioneering a path. She's pioneering a path to the throne room of God for you. We need worship. We need worship in our lives. We need the presence of God in our life. We need those. God will move in those moments. That's why I love verse 47. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people. You know, I mean, if the only time you worship is the 17 minutes that you get in here, you're missing out on a lot more of what God wants to do in your life. That's why your faith is boring. That's why you want to give up on God. That's why you want to stop going. That's why you give up on church. Because you're not encountering God, who is a relationship. That word Hebrew, that word yada, is the Hebrew word I studied a long time ago that says an intimate knowing of who you are and of coming together to know you and to fill you and to bless you and to inspire you. That's what literally worship is. So what are you doing for worship? Where's your playlist? You know, Heidi and I drove back from my parents' house. We were singing old school 1999 worship songs in the car going to town. Heidi goes, "Ooh, this is like Integrity days. Let's go." And it's because Heidi worked at Integrity Music is in the marketing department. We met all these famous worship leaders of the 90s and the early 2000s, and we thought we were so cool and having a blast. And it's because we were in the presence of these great worship leaders. You probably know Darlene Check, Hillsong people. You probably know these people. Paul Balash, if you're those people. You know, like, you get all this. We all know them. But it was like, if worship became a part of our life. Playlist, worship playlist. I've got literally 100 on my phone because I start my day in my house with worship. How are you putting worship in your house, in your life? Where are you worshiping beyond the 17 minutes you get here? you know? So here's my final thought for us. One small new habit over time accrues to becoming one big new normal in your life. So what's the small habit that you're going to start today of these four things? Prayer, worship, fasting, word. What are you going to do? And how was that? I'm not saying you've got to obey. You can't just leave out of here and be like, that was encouraging. I got to do something about that. No, decide right now how you're going to do, what you're going to do, and what God wants to do. I mean, I have my prayer journal. I started this prayer. I've got a prayer journal right here that I carry with me everywhere. But this started 20 some years ago when I said, I'm going to write down the scripture. It's not a Dear Jesus diary. That's not my vibe with this. This is not that. This is saying, I don't want to forget that scripture. I put this down. I looked just randomly open to this page back 2 months ago. Choose this day who you will serve. Joshua 24 verses 14 through 16. God spoke that to me that day. So I just wrote it down because God's word for your life is God's will for your life. That's what God spoke to me. I wrote it down. I've got literally like 50 journals in like a Target bin, plastic tub in our storage lower level in my house, because where my kids can see, this is the journey of your dad following Jesus. So when I go to be with Jesus, they'll get all of these. So how are you, where's your legacy? How are your kids following you? How is your wife following you? How is your husband following you? How is your family following God? Are you modeling worship? Are you modeling prayer? Are you modeling fasting? Are you modeling, do your kids wake up finding you reading the Bible, dads? My son does, because God spoke to me a long time ago. He needs to see you. So start now. Nothing wrong with saying, son, I should have been, but I'm making changes now. You will forever know that I'm reading it. That's great. Just do it today. But what are the changes you're making? So today as we close, let's go ahead. Would you go ahead and stand with me? Because I want to pray over us. We're going to pray a new habit into us today. And so today, I don't know what that habit is, but even before we go there, just bow your heads for a second. If you're in here today and you would go and say, I want to follow God with greater passion. My faith is boring. I don't even have a faith. This whole Jesus thing is intriguing to me. I've never been in a church like this. I don't know, but I want to know more about who Jesus is, because my life needs the peace and the hope and the forgiveness of a loving God that can take a life and turn around. If you don't know Jesus today, just slip your hand up. We just want to pray with you. Just let me see it. I'll just agree with you. No big deal. I want to pray though with you. If anybody here would need Jesus, just looking for a hand. If you need it, I'll just agree with you. Not a big deal, but I want to pray with you. I should say it's a very big deal, but I won't make you a big deal. All right. We're going to pray. I want to pray for you. What is going to be your new normal this year? Right now, we're just going to pray. If you just want to put your hands out, like palms up, like, God, I'm receiving today. That's all this is. So God, right now you see us as a church. We're receiving today. And God, I don't know what it is. For some of us, you're calling us to pray differently. You're calling us to prayer. You're like, I don't go to prayer meetings because they're boring. Well, you know what? Maybe God's calling you now and you feel the Holy Spirit pinging you saying, I need to go. I need to pray more. I'm going to give prayer a different focus this year. I'm going to hit a prayer meeting. I'm going to pray before work. I'm going to pray in my car. I'm going to live a life of prayer. Maybe that's you. Let God just burn that in you. For some of us, we're saying, I've never fasted before. I've never, ever done a fast. I need breakthrough. I'm like those disciples that were like, this can't come out with prayer and fasting. I can't get my breakthrough without a fast. So I'm going to fast for breakthrough. I'm going to fast for deliverance. I'm going to fast for an open door. I need to fast. God, just work it now. You're putting that word fast on people's heart. God, for some of us, it's the word of God. They're like, I'm going to give God's word everything. God's word will be, I'm going to go to that Tuesday night this Tuesday. I'm going to hear the word. I'm going to get doused with scripture and theology because I need to understand who God is more so I can understand me more. I need to understand who my God is so I can understand how God made me. What if maybe that's your word and you're like, I'm a soap sprint it. I'm going to read. I've never read the whole New Testament in 30 days. I'm going to read it this year. Then maybe that's you. Then say yes to God. And lastly, maybe you're just saying, I need to worship. We have a worship night on September 15th. Burn that in your head and heart right now. Come to worship night. that Miranda's going to be leading with. Put a worship playlist together. Let worship mark your life. If God inhabits the praises of his people, then let God transform your life and overwhelm you and overflow you in a different way this year. Let worship be beyond the 17 minutes you get in church. Live a life of worship. Let songs come out of your life in a greater way. God, thank you that you're marking our church. You're marking every family. Every person matters in here today, Lord. Thank you, God. We pray a blessing. We pray a blessing, Lord, on every person here. Thank you, God, for newness. Thank you, God, for newness. Thank you, God, that you're doing something unique. That there's going to be a different year. It's a different year for some of you. It's a different year, Tom and Paula. I just want to encourage you. I feel like God said it's going to be a very different, beautifully breakthrough different year for you guys. And so we're just believing God will do that for you. Just believing it. Before I saw you, I'm just like, why is that in my heart? So I'm just going to obey that. I'm believing there's new business deals for you. If you're trying to seal the deal, Mike, if you're trying to make things happen, you don't have to try so hard to make it happen. God's going to move. For some of you, you've walked through loss and devastation, and you're wondering, can I trust God? I've trusted, and now I don't know. Can I really trust? Yeah, God's going to put a new trust in you. A new trust. It's a whole new trust and love for God if you've lost someone unexpectedly. Family member, child, God's going to put a new trust this year. So anyways, just I'm prophetically encouraging you guys today. Just believing, if God spoke something in my heart, I'm just throwing it out there for you. Own it, run with it, love God with it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. A new source of strength, Jessica. A new strength. A new strength for you to walk. He's going to lift you. I think of that scripture, you'll mount up on wings like eagles. He'll carry you. He's going to give you fresh strength and a fresh unction and a fresh. He's going to carry you in a beautiful way this year for you. I love it. Go, God. Lord, bless our church. Pray, fast, worship, and scriptures and community, life groups, loving God and loving people. We declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, make some noise for God. Woo! Thanks for coming to church, prayer teams. Pop on up here. I'll see you guys in the lobby. God bless you. Have a great week at River Valley. Oh.